Iroquois Memorial announces new hires to the leadership team. Jeffrey Baker has been announced as the new administrator of the resident home at Iroquois Memorial Hospital effective September 29th. According to information provided by IMH, Baker holds a bachelor's degree in sociology from Eastern Illinois University in Charleston and is a licensed healthcare administrator in multiple states. His career has taken him from downtown Chicago to the mountains of rural Idaho, where he has led facilities specializing in mental health and subacute rehabilitation. Throughout his career, Baker has been recognized for turning around facilities facing compliance and quality of care challenges. He said he is passionate about building strong teams, improving workplace culture, and enhancing care outcomes. As administrator of the resident home, my goal is to provide excellent care and customer service to our residents and community, Baker said. We'll be partnering closely with IMH to improve care and quality metrics, recruit and retain talented staff, and make the resident home a truly special place to live and work. I want IMH to be the first choice for health care in Iroquois County and the surrounding areas. I'm excited to put down roots here and contribute to IMH's long-term success, ensuring that future generations can access quality care right here in their own community. IMH also welcomed Susan Lopez as Human Resources Director on October 6th. Lopez earned her MBA from Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais and brings extensive experience in talent acquisition, employee retention, compensation, and benefits administration, and employee relations and engagement. Paula Rosine joined IMH on September 29th as Business Development Director. She holds a master's degree in leadership development from St. Mary of the Woods College in St. Mary of the Woods, Indiana, and has more than 30 years of experience in marketing, public relations, and foundation management. Rosine oversees marketing, public relations, grants, and community outreach, helping strengthen IMH's visibility and engagement throughout the region. Mike Tilstra, president and CEO of Iroquois Memorial Hospital, said Jeff's passion and commitment to nursing home administration will help us continue on the path toward an exceptional home and care in every way. Susan and Paula each bring proven expertise that will assist our leaders as we expand high-quality local health care. All three leaders joining our team is another indication of the commitment IMH is making toward our growth initiatives. Birth to Five Illinois launches statewide Family Leadership Council. Since the official launch of Birth to Five Illinois in February 2022, dedicated parents and caregivers in all 39 Illinois regions have been sharing their stories and providing valuable feedback on local early childhood education and care programs as members of the Birth to Five Illinois Family Councils and Action Councils, according to information from the organization. The new Birth to Five Illinois Statewide Family Leadership Council is comprised of Family Council alumni who have served for 3 years in their respective regions. In this role, past Birth to Five Illinois Family Council members will continue to offer their perspectives as direct users of Illinois' early childhood services and help Birth to Five Illinois improve its family and community engagement efforts across the state. The council had its first meeting in September 2025 and will convene every other month. Members can serve for 1 year and are paid a stipend for their time and expertise. They will be offered opportunities to participate in other state-level activities, which may include providing feedback on public-facing communication materials, co-leading parent discussion groups, or joining interviews with press. Additionally, based on their experiences as parents and caregivers and their time on the regional Birth to Five Illinois councils, this inaugural statewide group decided that finding ways to make families more aware of the available early childhood education and care resources, supports, and programs is the greatest need and thus their chosen priority for the year. Birth to Five Illinois is proud to introduce the fiscal year 2026 members representing 28 of Illinois' 39 regions. FY 2026 Birth to Five Illinois Statewide Family Leadership Council members, Region 1A, Alyssa Radcliffe, Roseland, and Cook County. Luann Handley from Aurora, Kane County, Region 32, Allie Denault, Bourbonnais, Kankakee County, Region 33, Marie-Laurée Lamar, Galesburg from Knox County, Region 39, Samantha Barrera, Decatur, Macon County, Region 40, Kelly Ballard, Rudehouse, Greene County, Region 41, Donna Miller, Highland, Madison County, Region 45, Brittany Rongi, Waterloo, Monroe County. Region 47, Candace Antsack, Mount Morris, Ogle County. Region 48, Karashina Deal, Peoria, from Peoria County. Region 50, Katie Mano, Belleville, St. Clair County. Region 51, Leanne Bell, Springfield, Sangamon County. Region 53, Alyssa List, Mason City, Mason County. Region 54, Tatiana Bailey, Danville, Vermilion County. Region 58, Krista Escamillo, Plainfield, Will County. You can learn more at www.birth2fiveil.com/advisory. Illinois State Museum is featuring personal Route 66 stories from Mother Road's 100th anniversary in 2026. In anticipation of the 100th anniversary of legendary Route 66 in 2026, the Illinois State Museum has launched an online database of 100 oral histories about the Mother Road. According to information provided, ISM's Route 66 Oral History Project database includes video recorded interviews as well as word searchable written transcriptions. Contributors include people who lived, worked, and traveled along Route 66 during its pre-interstate heyday, as well as people who currently promote, preserve, and interpret the road for current and future generations. These interviews provide a fascinating glimpse into what it was like to travel Route 66 back in the day, as well as perspectives from people who are working to promote the road today, said Erica Holst, ISM Curator of History and Route 66 Corridor Preservation Program co-organizer. We know that Route 66 students and enthusiasts are going to learn so much from these interviews. There are so many details to be found you just can't find in books. Route 66 was commissioned in 1926. At the time, it was advertised as the shortest, best, and most scenic route between Chicago and Los Angeles. It was the major thoroughfare to the West Coast for decades until the creation of the federal interstate system. The route stretched about 300 miles through Illinois, following roughly the same path as what became Interstate 55 from Chicago to St. Louis. After a revival of interest in the late 20th century, Route 66 has evolved into a popular road trip route, drawing millions of visitors from around the world each year. The interviews run the gamut from childhood memories of traveling the road on family vacations to a state trooper patrolling the road at night, said Amanda Bryden, ISM Registrar of History and Route 66 Corridor Preservation Program co-organizer. They range from humorous and hopeful to tragic and tense. We are honored to be stewards of these stories and are excited to share them with the public. This project was made possible through the support of the Illinois State Museum Society and a grant from the National Park Service's Route 66 Corridor Preservation Program. About the State Illinois Museum, established in 1877, the Illinois State Museum is a dynamic institution that inspires the exploration of Illinois' past and present to inform and enrich everyday life and promote stewardship of cultural and natural resources. Headquartered in Springfield with branch facilities in Lewistown and Lockport, ISM is accredited by the American Alliance of Museums and a proud member of the International Coalition of Sites of Conscience. Watseka Chamber seeks volunteers for Christmas light display setup. The Watseka Area Chamber of Commerce is thrilled to announce the launch of a spectacular drive-through Christmas light display at Legion Park, set to debut November 28th after the annual Lighted Christmas Parade. This magical event will bring joy and holiday spirit to our community, and we need your support to make it happen, said Executive Director Amanda Hibbs. To get this project off the ground, we are seeking volunteers to help us set up the displays and get them ready for the holiday season. Every contribution, big or small, will help us create a dazzling winter wonderland for everyone to enjoy. Volunteers are needed at 10 a.m. November the 8th at Legion Park. Volunteers are asked to dress warmly and help support this community event. Illinois State Fire Marshal's Office announces a statewide transition to the new National Emergency Reporting System. The Illinois State Fire Marshal's Office announced today that fire departments across the state are beginning the transition to the National Emergency Response Information System, called NERIS, a secure cloud-based platform built to modernize how emergency incidents are reported and analyzed according to the information provided. Departments across the country are onboarding to NERIS as part of a phased national rollout led by the U.S. Fire Administration, the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate, and the Fire Safety Research Institute, part of UL Research Institutes. NERIS is replacing the 40-year-old National Fire Incident Reporting System to provide local agencies with timely data tools, location-based analytics, and flexible options for incident reporting at no cost to the departments. Modernizing emergency data collection is a critical step towards strengthening public safety, said Illinois State Fire Marshal Michelle Pankow. By adopting NERIS, we are giving our departments better tools to protect our communities, manage resources effectively, and make informed decisions backed by current data. This program will also help to enhance CRR programs across the state with real-time data, allowing departments to analyze trends in a more efficient and effective way through data dashboards. Key features of NERIS include zero-cost access for all public fire and EMS agencies, local data ownership, giving departments full control of their records, GIS-based reporting for location-specific insights and planning, actionable dashboards for operational awareness and performance tracking, streamlined onboarding with help desk support and training tools. Departments may begin the onboarding process today and will be contacted directly by email within the next few weeks to start the onboarding process. If your department does not receive an email, you can start the process by visiting the NERIS website. The process includes account setup, administrator access, and records management system integration if applicable. NERIS is purposely built for today's fire service, said Steve Kerber, executive director of the FSRI. It's based on research and feedback from the field, and it delivers actionable information that improves emergency response and supports long-term planning and resourcing at the local, state, and national levels. The Illinois State Fire Marshal's Office encourages all departments to complete onboarding as soon as possible to ensure a smooth transition. The current national data platform, NFIRS, will be formally decommissioned on January 1st. For additional questions or technical support, departments can contact the NERIS Help Desk or the Lindsay Paget at the Illinois State Fire Marshal's Office or by email. The National Emergency Response Information System is the new all-hazards reporting platform for U.S. Fire and Emergency Services. Developed through a federal public-private partnership with input from departments nationwide, NERIS delivers modern tools to streamline reporting, improve data quality, and improve community risk reduction. By tracking operational trends, resource use, and incident outcomes, NERIS advances data-informed approaches to emergency response and resource allocation. And obituaries in the paper today. Ernest Sonny K. Robbins, Sr. Ernest Sonny K. Robbins, Sr. Sonny was born May 6, 1945 in Iroquois County, Illinois. And let's go down here. Sonny was preceded in death by his parents, Monroe Robbins and Lorreen Robbins. After retiring, Sonny and Sally moved to Texas to be closer to family. Sonny passed away peacefully in Parker County, Texas, surrounded by family on October 24th. A celebration of life will be in Sheldon at a later date. Rebecca Lynn Becky Thorne. Rebecca Lynn Becky Thorne, 74, of Paxton, passed away at 9:24 a.m. Wednesday, October 29th, at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. A visitation will be held from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. Sunday, November 2nd. Well, that's past. A private family burial will be held at a later date in Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials may be made to Ruby's Rescue and Retreat at 4035 County Road 600 North, McLean, Illinois. Condolences and memories can be shared with the family at www.bearfuneralservices.com. Iroquois County Sheriff's Police reports. On October 28th, Austin Cade turned himself into the Iroquois County Jail on a failure to appear warrant on an original charge of driving under the influence. Austin was later released on a notice to appear. On October 28th, Iroquois County deputies arrested Harrison Hand, 48, of Milford. According to police reports, deputies observed Hand driving a vehicle in the 100 block of West Jones Street near South Chicago Street in Milford. Deputies conducted a traffic stop on the vehicle because they knew Hand to have a revoked Illinois license. Hand was placed into custody for driving while the license was revoked. Hand also received a citation for operating an uninsured motor vehicle. Hand was taken to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released on a notice to appear. On October 28th, Iroquois County deputies arrested James Davenport, 41, of Otsika. According to police reports, deputies observed who they knew to be Davenport in the McDonald's parking lot in Watseka. Deputies knew Davenport to have an outstanding Iroquois County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of driving while license revoked. Deputies made contact with Davenport and placed him into custody. Davenport was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he remains awaiting his next court date. On October 28th, Iroquois County deputies arrested Brandon Olsich, 40, of Watseka. According to police reports, deputies conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle driven by Olsich for traffic violation. Olsich obstructed the deputies' duties during the course of the traffic stop. Olsich was taken into custody for obstructing a peace officer. Olsich also received a citation for operating an uninsured motor vehicle. Olsich was taken to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released on a notice to appear. On October 30th, Iroquois County deputies arrested Brenton Barnes, 31, of Danville. According to police reports, Barnes was in custody with the Illinois Department of Corrections. However, he had an active Iroquois County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of residential burglary. Barnes was released from IDOC custody and taken into custody by the Iroquois County Sheriff's Office. Barnes was later transported and released on notice to appear. On October 31st, Iroquois County deputies arrested Christopher Gregory, 52, of Milford. According to police report, Gregory contacted the sheriff's office wishing to be taken into custody on his active Iroquois County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of driving while license revoked. Deputies contacted Gregory in the 100 block of North Pearl in Milford. Gregory was taken into custody and transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he remains awaiting his next court date. On October 31st, Iroquois County deputies arrested Nicholas Klein, 37, of Paxton. According to police reports, deputies were called to the area of 1400 North and 1900 East for a single vehicle traffic accident. Deputies made contact with Klein, who was the driver of the vehicle that had crashed. Deputies ran a license check on Klein, which revealed he had a revoked Illinois license. Klein was taken into custody and charged with driving while a license revoked. Klein was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released on notice to appear. On October 31st, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Felicia Longton, aged 36, of Gilman. According to police reports, Longton was wanted on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant, charging her with financial exploitation of the elderly. She was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where she remains. On November 1st, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Annabelle L. Gordon, age 23, of Sheldon. According to police reports, Gordon was charged with possession of methamphetamine and possession of drug paraphernalia. She was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where she was later released with a notice to appear. On November 1st, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested David J. Ordway, age 32, of Goodland. According to police reports, Ordway was charged with possession of a controlled substance. He was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released with a notice to appear. On November 2nd, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Jesse English, age 47. According to police reports, English was charged with retail theft, resisting a police officer, and aggravated battery to a peace officer. English was taken into custody after an incident at the Sheldon Dollar General, where he was a suspect in a theft. When deputies located English, he actively fought while being taken into custody. After being successfully placed into custody, he was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he remains, awaiting a court appearance to determine pretrial release. Justice Mary K. O'Brien to administer oath to new attorneys in Joliet. Justice Mary K. O'Brien of the Illinois Supreme Court will administer the attorney's oath to 87 new lawyers on Wednesday, November 5th, in the 3rd Judicial District. The group is among 1,637 who will be sworn in and admitted to the practice of law in Illinois during bar admission ceremonies held in the state's 5 Supreme Court judicial districts. The bar admission ceremony in the 3rd Judicial District will begin at 11 a.m. at the Joliet Junior College Event Center, located at 1215 Hobalt Road. Justice O'Brien will preside over the ceremony and will be joined in welcoming the new lawyers and guests by 3rd District Appellate Court Presiding Justice Liam C. Brennan and 12th Circuit Chief Judge Daniel Kennedy. The speaker for the ceremony will be Cook County Circuit Judge Bridget G. Dugden, who also serves as president of the Illinois State Bar Association. Guests of the Illinois Supreme Court will include former Supreme Court Justices Thomas Kilbride and Robert L. Carter, Third Appellate Court Justices William E. Holdridge, Joseph P. Heddle, Linda Davenport, John Anderson, Matthew Bertani, and Lance R. Peterson will be in attendance, as well as Will County Circuit Court Clerk Andrea Lynn Chastain. Guests from the 12th Circuit Court will include Circuit Judges Sarah Jones, Carmen Goodman, David Garcia, Jessica Colon-Sayre, Vincent Cornelius, John Connor, Jennifer Lynch, Amy Christensen, and Sonny Williams. Bar Association presidents in attendance will be Charles Wentworth of the DuPage County Bar Association, Jeremiah Adams of the LaSalle County Bar Association, Mikhail Stoll of the Will County Bar Association, Natalie Lamphere of the DuPage Association of Women Lawyers, Taylor Struckmeyer of the Will County Women's Bar Association, Melissa Quinones of the Will County Latino Bar Association, and Jerry King of the Black Bar Association of Will County. Gregory Petrakowski will make the motion to admit the class. Larissa Adamson and Kathleen Chavez will second the motion. Each of them has a family member being admitted to the bar. University of Illinois Extension responds to rising food access needs. University of Illinois Extension is responding to the increased demand for food assistance amid the ongoing government shutdown and SNAP benefit disruptions. Publicly available resources are being shared by Extension to help Illinois families access food and to support local donation efforts. These tools also assist legislators, local government, and organizations in promoting food security during this challenging time, according to information from Extension. Available resources for Illinois families. Assistance with finding food. The Find Food Illinois Map is an effective tool that helps residents and their families locate food assistance by zip code, including nearby pantries, meal sites, and other resources. The map is accessible in English, Spanish, and French. Visit go.illinois.edu/findfoodil for details. Support through donations. Food donation options are available for individuals and groups looking to support their local communities and families. Resources include guidance on donating excess household food and information about the Hunters Feeding Illinois Deer Donation Program. Learn more at extensionillinois.edu/food donations. How to donate food. Use the Food Find Illinois map to locate a nearby pantry or contact a regional food bank for larger donations. A pantry staples list and other resources are available to help guide donation choices. For more information or questions about Illinois Extension's family and consumer science resources, including SNAP education, please contact Jennifer McCaffrey at jmccaffr@illinois.edu or Trinity Allison at trinitya@illinois.edu. About Illinois Extension. University of Illinois Extension develops educational programs, extends knowledge, and builds partnerships to support people, communities, and their environments as part of the state's land-grant institution. Extension serves as the leading public outreach effort for University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences in all 102 Illinois counties through a network of 27 multi-county units and over 700 staff statewide. Extension's mission responsive to 8 strategic priorities: community, economy, environment, food and agriculture, health partnerships, technology and discovery, and workforce excellence that are served through 6 program areas: 4-H youth development, agriculture and agribusiness, community and economic development, family and consumer science, integrated health disparities and natural resources, environment and energy. Learn more at extension.illinois.edu. Nunemaker talks about Iroquois County Civil War soldiers by Kim Raby. Zach Nunemaker of Momance gave a presentation on Iroquois County soldiers who served in the 2 largest Illinois infantries, the 76th and the 113th, during the Civil War. Not a professional researcher, Nunemaker is somewhat of a history buff, and about a decade ago he developed a keen interest in the Civil War. His program was presented in the courtroom of the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry, Watseka, on November 2nd. Illinois ended up being the 4th state in providing the most troops for the war. Ahead of Illinois were New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. In 1861, the War Department requested 6 regiments. However, due to the high number of volunteers, the 10-regiment bill was passed by the Illinois General Assembly, authorizing another 10 regiments. By the end of that year, almost 10 times the initial call, about 43 regiments were either being organized or were in service. In 1862, the call was for 300,000, the 61st through the 131st Infantries, and these regiments represented 71 new regiments organized that year. Also that year, Illinois raised new cavalry and artillery units, which greatly increased the state's contribution to the Union Army. On August 4, 1862, President Abraham Lincoln issued an executive order authorizing a draft of an additional 300,000 militia to serve for 9 months. These were known as the 100 Days Men. In 1861, Iroquois County regiments included 20th Infantry Regiment, Company I, 25th Infantry Regiment, Companies F and G, 51st Infantry Regiment, Company C, 9th Cavalry Regiment, Company M, and 10th Cavalry Regiment, Company C. In 1862, the 76th Infantry Regiment included Companies A, E, and K. The 88th Infantry Regiment included Company C. The 113th Infantry Regiment included Companies B, D, F, and I. The 13th Infantry Regiment included Company B. The 150th Infantry Regiment included Company D, and the 155th Infantry Regiment included Company F. According to the U.S. Census for Iroquois County in 1860, the total population was reported as 12,325. Those 17 companies represented almost 1,700 men, which means that about 14% of Iroquois County's population served at some point in the war. Disease accounted for the highest percentage of deaths during the Civil War. The diseases included dysentery, an intestinal infection, pneumonia, yellow fever, and scarlet fever. A few highlights of the service provided by the 20th Illinois Infantry, Company I, organized and mustered at Joliet on June 13, 1861, took part in the Fort Henry and Donelson campaign in February of 1862, moved to Savannah, Tennessee, and participated in Shiloh April 6 and 7, 1862. Took part in operations against and the siege of Vicksburg. May, July 1863 were on hand at Bennett's Place when Joseph E. Johnson surrendered on April 26, 1865, and finally was discharged at Chicago on July 24, 1865. For this company, there were 331 deaths, 7 officers and 132 enlisted men were killed and mortally wounded, and 1 officer and 191 men died by disease. The 25th Illinois Infantry, Company F, organized at St. Louis in August 1861. This group first saw action at the Battle of Pea Ridge in March of 1862 and took part in heavy fighting at the Battle of Stones River, 1862 and 63. These men were part of the Tullahoma and Chickamauga campaigns, suffering severe losses at the Chickamauga-Chattanooga campaign in 1863. This group marched with General Sherman in the Atlanta campaign. All told, there were 232 lives lost. 3 officers and 80 enlisted men were killed and mortally wounded. 1 officer and 148 enlisted men died by disease. The remaining members of this troop were honorably discharged in September of 1865. The 9th Illinois Cavalry, Company M, formed in October 1861 at Chicago. They took part in the Battle of Corinth in October of 1862 and the Battle of Jackson, Mississippi in May 1863, and men were part of the Siege of Vicksburg, May-July of 1863. They were involved in the Meridian, Franklin, Nashville, and Mobile campaigns. These men were honorably discharged in October of 1865. 1 officer and 45 enlisted men were killed. Another 6 officers and 241 enlisted men died by disease. The 10th Illinois Cavalry Regiment mustered in on November 25, 1861 at Camp Butler, Illinois. This unit was involved in 2 distinct operational spheres, Army of the Frontier and Separate Battalion Service. That's all we have time for today for the Iroquois Times-Republic. I hope you enjoyed today's readings. We'll talk to you next week.